Carmela, did you know that they make wine in Canada?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, it's true, but a lot of people don't know that.
Who are these people?
I don't know, but we're going to edumacate some people about this. And where in Canada are we going to talk about wine today?
We are going to talk about wine from the Okanagan area of Canada.
That's right, in British Columbia.
Excellent.
That's right. So should we learn some more?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair. Okay, for new listeners to our podcast, just so you know, what we usually do in every episode is taste and review three reasonably priced wines, which means what, Carmela?
They have to be $20 or less.
Yes, you should be able to easily find in a local store or online or something like that. Although today we're kind of breaking the rules a little bit. Okay. And this week we are returning to one of our favorites, the WTF or What the Fuck series. And in this episode, we have a double What the Fuck.
Wow, this is a lot.
That's
right. Coming out of the gates, this is a lot.
Yeah, we have a double.
And we have a double one.
A double WTF, right?
Okay.
So what's the WTF series, you ask?
What's the WTF series?
Well, Carmela, I'm glad you asked that, because the WTF series is an opportunity to introduce listeners to wines that they may not know about or may not be as familiar with, but maybe they want to learn about.
What the F?
I know. Or maybe we think you should know about them, right?
And then we say, what the F, you don't know about these?
Yeah, and then we say, why the F are you drinking Cabernet when you could be drinking one of these wines instead?
Right, and we just keep going, what the F?
What the F? That's all we do all day, right. All well, episode. No, just,
yeah, during this episode,
we just
the
say,
whole time.
We just keep
F?
Going, what the F?
Right.
Okay, and this is fun for us too, because it forces us to try and find some new wines and expand our knowledge and all that kind of stuff. And otherwise, we would just drink Pinot Noir and Cava all the time.
Boy, it'd
right?
be terrible. It'd be just a terrible life.
Horrible life. That's right. So, our first WTF, because this is a double WTF. I kind of like saying that,
wow.
double WTF.
How many times can you say it?
I can't say it too fast. Okay, The first WTF in this episode is about Syrah wine. So we're going to talk about what the F Syrah wine is. And the second WTF is us talking about what the F wine from the Okanagan Valley in Canada is.
I love it.
That's this a lot of Fs.
Yeah, we're going to learn a ton.
I know. And then, again, as I mentioned before, depending on where you live, this episode will stretch the usual boundaries of the parameters of our show, which are easy to find in under $20. Because first of all, the wines from the Okanagan Valley are sometimes hard to get, even in the United States.
Well, and they're practically free, too, because they're Canadian money.
Wow. And that was actually where I'm cheating on the price too.
Oh.
Because the wines are the wines are a little more than $20, but in the exchange they're right. Like you said, they're kind of free.
It's just
they're
sort like of like Monopoly money anyway.
That's right.
So.
And there's a picture of some lady on it. I don't know.
Oh my
who
god.
Is. Who is
wow.
she? I don't know.
Keep collecting those Canadian dollars.
That's right. But I'm willing to go beyond these parameters. I'm willing to be I'm gonna
You're
jump.
Taking a risk.
I'm coming out of the box here
wow.
because it's important. And do you know why it's important
to spend more than $20
and to find wines that may not be as easy to find. Do you know why, Carmela?
Why?
Yes.
I don't know why.
Because we are talking about wines from the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, which is a place that is near and dear to my heart.
I figured this was the case.
And why is it near and dear to my heart?
Because it is really where you come from.
That's right.
Well, your
why?
Mother came yeah. from there. She was born and raised in Penticton, Canada, which
That's
is
right.
in Okanagan.
That's right.
And it is. It's a very near and dear spot in your heart.
That's right. I spent every summer in Penticton. That was our summer vacation spot.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my brothers loved it. And you have to admit, Carmela, it's a pretty great place.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's lovely. We used to take our kids there for
yeah.
several years, many years.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's a little bit of a haul from Seattle, but you know what? It's worth it.
It's so worth it. Do it.
Now, what's interesting about British Columbia, Canada, Okanagan Valley is that as a kid growing up there, I don't remember a lot of wine production or grape growing, except perhaps in my grandparents' backyard.
So interesting. So do you do remember them growing grapes?
Oh, yeah, totally. And yeah. That's probably a story we'll cover some other time. But my grandfather made wine. In fact, my dear Aunt Agata left me my grandfather's still where he made grappa after he was done making the wine.
Oh,
he would take all the leftovers
and
make grappa.
Small. It takes up a lot of storage space.
Yeah, and he also, it does, but I love it. And she also gave me a little tool that he used to like put the corks in the wine. So, and we are right around my aunt's birthday. And so talking about Penticton, it feels appropriate.
Right. Very nostalgic.
Now, some of you in listening land may be surprised that there is wine production in Canada. And there's a good reason for that.
What? To be surprised?
Yes.
Okay.
Because wine grapes and wine growing, they're fickle. They're fickle when it comes to how much sun or how much rain or how much heat they need. They're very specific. And so we'll have a link. We have a really cool link in our show notes for this map that shows how limited the global areas where wine grapes can be grown are. And it's like between 30 and 50 latitude. Mm. And most of Canada is just not in that zone.
Right.
And
right.
So there's very few areas in Canada where they can grow wine grapes. One of them is the Okanagan Valley, and it's the only semi-arid area of Canada. What do you think semi-arid means, Carmel? I feel like this is a quiz show.
I know. This is not nice. A semi-arid. Mm-hmm. It's half. I don't know.
It's almost.
I should know.
It means like almost a desert.
It's
desert-like. It gets a little bit more rain.
Half of the time. Half of the year, right?
That's not really.
Is that why semi?
It's just semi-arid. Okay. Arid means dry, you know, not a lot of rain.
Wow.
So it's semi-arid. I mean, there are times where it gets enough rain.
Are you trying to make me look dumb?
No, I don't mean to do that.
Okay. I just do it to myself.
No, I did not want to say that. I didn't want to say that. But it gets very hot in the summer. It doesn't get a ton of rain, but it gets more rain than a desert would. And it has very cold winters and very hot summers. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more about the wine growing area of the Okanagan Valley and Syrah wines that we're tasting. And when I was there a few months ago, the wines I picked up. But before that, Carmela, I need to do my shameless plug.
Okay.
All right. So if you like what you're hearing, or even if you don't like it, right?
Wow.
We think it would be amazing for you to subscribe to our podcast so you can expand your brain vessels with amazing information like what we're going to share with you today.
That's right. And who are they supposed to be telling this time around?
Well, we'll get to that. We would also love you to give us a rating and a review, and we would love it if you'd send us some feedback on things you like and don't like, things you want us to do, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And, you know, maybe there's some other underappreciated areas of wine that you'd like us to talk about. Let us know. You can DM us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. You can go to our website at thewinepairpodcast.com, all that kind of stuff. And like you said, every week we choose somebody that we think you should tell. So this week, Carmela, we think it's appropriate that you should tell anyone you know who's in the military.
Because they need a good glass of wine.
And it's Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Oh, goodness. So we don't know when people are going to listen to this.
You're right. But we, you know, that's when it's going to be released.
Okay.
And so
it's a great idea. Or your favorite Canadian.
Thank those people and share them some, or your favorite Canadian. Thank those people and show them some extra love by telling them about the Wine Pair Podcast. How about that?
They will thank you forever.
They will. It'll be meaningful for them.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about wine country in Canada and the wine country in Canada that we are dedicated to, wines from the Okanagan Valley. And again, you mentioned it. My mom grew up in Penticton and is a proud graduate of Penticton High School, better known as Penticton Secondary School. And I'm kind of a sucker for wines from the Penticton area, right?
And it really exploded there.
Yeah.
Like, kind of watched it grow.
It's totally true, right? Like, I looked it up on the interwebs and they said there's something like 170 wineries in the Penticton area.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. And when we would visit there, we never visited one. Maybe towards the end of our visit.
It was like, yeah, towards the end.
Yeah, they started to, like the end of our time visiting there. It seems like they just started popping up.
No, it's totally true. As a kid, what I remember, and this is true of like Eastern Washington as well, because they're kind of similar areas, it was all fruit trees. Mm. It was apples and pears and cherries and peaches and apricots. I mean, Penticton has a peach festival.
Right.
And on Okanagan Lake, they have a big Peach, right?
They sell ice cream out of it. It's so amazing. And it's not just peach ice cream.
Yeah, they don't have a grape festival.
No, right? It's peach. And it's definitely peach.
And although my grandma and grandpa in Penticton had were growing grapes because they made their own wine, like my aunt and uncle who lived in Canada for forever, they had an orchard in Summerland and they had chickens and they had cows and they had a big garden and they had fruit trees. They didn't have any grapes. I don't really remember grapes around the area. But today in the Okanagan and like Penticton's not that big of a city. The metro area is about 45,000 people. Again, there are tons of wineries, and there's wineries to the north up to Kelowna and to the south down to like Osoyoos and Oliver. And again, I mentioned this, wines from BC are not super easy to get in the United States, and that's some of that has to do with import laws, etc. But if you have the chance to go to Okanagan, we strongly encourage it.
Mm-hmm. It really attracts people. I mean, it's definitely a reason people go up to that area now.
Yeah,
like, you know, people who've gone up there, family on my side who've gone there because of the wineries.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe some people have gone up for other reasons, and then that's what they do. That's part of the destination, is going to the wineries.
Yeah, but why did we go up there?
Oh, we went up there because of family.
And the beach.
Well, right.
Beautiful
right.
beach.
Well, of like, course, you it's know, gorgeous.
Right on Okanagan Lake. Yeah. And very beautiful.
Yes,
so we had a great, yeah, we loved
it. Beautiful.
So, you know, there are certain types of grapes, because I remember we talked about that there's this thin latitude and of areas of wine growing in the world, and Canada has barely any of those. One of the few, again, is in the Okanagan Valley, and it's this very hot and unique area. And they grow only certain types of grapes in that area, because those are the ones that, you know, the wine grapes that they can grow that fit within that latitude, that temperature, that climate, etc. And so there are some wine grapes that do better in a place where summers are hot and short. But also there are some things about the area that also make it a little bit more friendly for growing grapes. So like, it's very hot in the summer. Like when you go, it's, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's 90s, 100 degrees. It's right. hot. I don't know what the Celsius is, but it's a lot. It's a lot of Celsius. But there, it's right on a lake. Big lake.
Two lakes.
And so the lake, but Okanagan is the big lake. And so that helps to kind of cool things down a little bit. At night, it gets a little cooler. And there are hills. You know, there are a lot of hills in that area. So if you find the right area, you can, and it's on a hillside, you can get things a little bit cooler. Red wines in the Okanagan that they grow. Carmela, any ideas of red wine grapes they might grow there?
Well, only because you told me.
Okay, what are some?
No, well, there's the Syrah,
Syrah, for sure. Clearly, because we're going to have that today.
Right. Well, I know this isn't even part of this, but what about the ice wine there? Is that a whole other episode that we need to discuss?
You just jumped. We're talking about red wine grapes.
I know.
And you just jumped to the ice wine.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Which comes later. Yes, they are well known for ice wine.
Okay.
There's a very famous winery called Inniskillen that does a great ice wine.
Right.
But that's a totally different ballgame. Can we go back?
Is that a whole different episode?
Yes. Can we go back to the red wines?
Syrah.
What's another?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, typically they grow a lot of Bordeaux wine grapes. Mm. So like Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, Voynière.
No. Okay. That's a white wine grape. We're talking about red wine grapes. Merlot, Cabernet Franc. They also grow a little bit of Pinot Noir, but I think that's a strange thing for there because it's a little hot. It's a little hot for Pinot, a little hot for Pinot Noir. And they're also creating a lot of these Rhone style GSM blends.
Mm.
So Syrah is one of the S in GSM is Syrah.
Right.
The G is Grenache. The M is Mourvèdre. Right. And so, you know, we'll see what we think of the Syrah and you know, that we're going to try today and see what we think about a red wine from that area. But I think white wines from that area is what they're a little bit better known for. And I think they do a little bit better.
Hmm.
So what are some white wine grapes you think they grow in that area?
Well, it's I cannot say it, but it's the Voynière.
Yes, they do. Viognier or Viognier.
Yeah, yep. We need to figure that one out.
There are some German white wine grapes that they grow there. Riesling is one. Gewürztraminer is another. Chardonnay is a popular grape that they grow in that area. Pinot Gris, one of our favorite Pinot Grigio.
Yes.
We really like that.
Oh, so they do a lot.
Yeah. And and there's actually a white wine grape that I've never heard of. I guess it's supposed to be like the parent of Chardonnay or a cousin of Chardonnay. It's called Pinot Achewah.
Oh, wow.
Achewah or something. I don't know. It's French. I can't say it.
Those French Canadians.
And then also, you're right, these ice wines.
Mm.
Okay. So exciting, fun, interesting. It's just interesting to me that they're in a place like that, which you just, you know, has super short, hot summers, really cold winters. And it's, you know, it's a place I grew up, right? I mean, it's a place like I spent a lot of time in as a kid, that they're growing some of these grapes for wine and they're making a lot of wine. Again, 170 wineries.
It's a lot.
And that
massive
area is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I never, growing up, it was, again, all orchards. It was all about fruit mm-hmm. trees and peaches.
How
and
great for them to have discovered that they can do so well
yeah.
with those grapes there and to be establishing all these wineries.
Well, Penticton's always been, I think, for especially for Canadians during the summer, a place that they went to like for vacationing. Mm-hmm. But now it's like with the wineries, it's a really a destination, right. a vacation destination.
We need
so
to go
super
back.
Fun. Yeah, I went back there not so long ago for not such great reasons, but I did. When I went there, and I'll post some pictures of my last visit there. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. You cannot believe how beautiful it
is. Did you visit a winery when you were there?
I didn't. Mm. But good transition, Carmela. It's almost like you read the script,
oh,
but you
yeah,
didn't.
I didn't, obviously.
I didn't go to a winery because I really didn't feel like I had enough time when I was there because it was pretty quick. A couple of trips, but I did go to a wine shop mm-hmm. Called Martin Street Liquor and Wine.
Nice.
And I tried to get, there was a couple of people, one person in particular named Rebecca who really helped me out, and I tried to get them on the show, but they didn't want to be on the show. I don't know why.
That's okay.
Maybe I made them intimidated. I don't know. Whatever.
You're so intimidating.
Well, but they were so knowledgeable and knew so much about the wine, so I had to go and like look stuff up. So I had to be part of the Look It Up Club, and so I'm going to share a little bit of what I learned.
You are so good. Impressive, honey. Impressive.
Okay, so Syrah is the wine that we're tasting today. It comes from the Syrah grape. And Syrah is a wine grape that actually does well. This is really interesting. It does well in both hotter climates and cooler climates. But depending on where the climate that they grow in, they can taste very different, which I never really heard that before. So that's really interesting. So for a place like the Okanagan with a really hot summer, Syrah is a good choice. And so the other thing that's interesting, I think part of this WTF series, is that Syrah from warmer climates is a good wine for people who kind of like Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm.
So we're not telling you can't drink Cabernet Sauvignon, but we are telling you is if you like Cabernet Sauvignon, there's probably other wines that you might like. And you may not see it very often because unfortunately, like in the United States, when you go to a wine section of a store, mm-hmm. it's overwhelmingly Cabernet, it's overwhelmingly Chardonnay. And I think there are, you know, a variety of reasons for that, not least of which is that wine companies and wine distributors and sort of like own the market and they kind of tell you what you should drink.
Mm.
But there are some great wines like Syrah that if you like Cabernet Sauvignon, we would encourage you to try them.
Right.
So because you may really like it. Again, Syrah is most famous for being from the Rhone region in France. And again, it's part of the famous Rhone GSM blends. And Syrah is grown in other places other than Canada or France. It's also grown in California and South Africa. And one of the most famous places where it's grown is in Australia, but there it goes by a different name.
Is it Shiraz?
You got it right. That's amazing. You are so amazing.
So smart. Woo.
Okay, so Syrah wines from warmer climates like the Okanagan have different taste profiles than those from cooler regions like the Northern Rhone of France. And so these wines tend to be a little bit more acidic, which means a little bit more food friendly. They can be a little bit higher in alcohol content, and they can have more like dark berry flavors. And sometimes I find that these wines that grow in really hot climates, and I think people should be aware of this, sometimes I feel like they have kind of a sharp taste to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
What do you like?
I don't know. Let's see. I'm not really sure.
By sharp taste, I mean they kind of have a little bit of bite to them, a little bit of alcohol. They're kind of like heavy on the alcohol, especially when they're young. And so that's something to think about. I guess I would say they feel a little bit less round in your mouth, if that makes sense. You know what I'm kind of getting at?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It depends on what you like.
Right.
If you like that kind of wine, that's great. And I also think that these are wines that you probably want to drink a little bit older. So by older wines, we don't mean like super old wines. And especially for the price point that we're talking about, you know, you're talking about, you know, $20-ish or under Syrah wines. You can still drink them relatively young, but what they say, the experts say, is drink them between 3 and 5 years. Like, don't drink them really younger than that. And I would not recommend drinking a Syrah younger than three wines or three Wow. Syrah younger than 3 years, because I think it's going to be really sharp. I think it's going to be really alcoholy. But there are Syrahs from France that you can age for 20 years or more. Okay, so today we have three different Syrahs, including one that's really unique, the Syrah Viognier blend that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that crazy, Carmela, to have a... Why do I think it's crazy
well,
to have
because
a
it's a red variety with a white variety. It's a mashup, so... I don't know. It'll be very interesting. I don't know what'll come through on that.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was really surprised because of that. I thought, well, that's odd that you would put a red wine and a white wine blended together.
Right.
And here's the other really weird thing. So this is actually pretty common that in France, like there's areas of the Rhone Valley, like Côte Rôti area, where they actually allow up to 20% of the wine to be Viognier and still call it a Syrah or still call it what they call it. But the interesting thing that I was reading about is they say that the Viognier, which is a white wine, actually deepens the color of the Syrah.
Strange.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I'm some weird chemical reaction.
Yeah, so we're going to take, we'll obviously, like we always do, we'll have some pictures of the grapes and the wine. Not the grapes. It would be really interesting to have pictures of the grapes.
Well, one day, if we take a trip up there, we will take pictures of the grapes.
Maybe we will. Sure. But no, like we do, and after every episode, we take pictures, we'll put them on our Instagram, and you'll get to see. Maybe we will see that the wine that's made from the blend of Syrah and Viognier is darker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, interesting.
There's lots of information in our show notes, lots of links, lots of great stuff to learn about Okanagan and to learn about Syrah wines and all sorts of fun stuff. So go there, winepairpodcast.com. But you know what? That's enough of this jibber jabber. We got to get down to what we do. And what is that, Carmela?
We're going to taste some wine.
That's right. Woo. Okay. Give us a second here. We're going to fill up our glasses and we're going to taste our first wine. Okay, we are back and we're ready to try our first wine. You ready, Carmela?
I'm ready.
Okay, so this first wine is called Thyme Syrah. And what's really interesting, it comes from a producer named Thyme in Penticton. But like the name, it looks like Time Magazine. It's kind of funny. Huh. Anyway, this is from Penticton, British Columbia. This is a 2018, so probably a little bit on the young side. I would say this is probably just on the edge. This was $36.99 Canadian dollars, which is like 35 cents. No, I'm kidding. No.
Which is free.
No, it's about $30 in the exchange rate. When I exchanged, I did the exchange rate a while ago. So still, it's on the higher end.
Yeah.
Now, you know, part of that is because in Canada, there are in the United States too, there's a lot of taxes and there's a lot of stuff. But I think this is the most expensive one that we have. Again, I got it at Martin Street Liquor Merchants. This is 13.9% alcohol. So this is, I think, also the lowest alcohol. It is 100% Syrah. So no Viognier in this one.
Mm-mm. It's
my
very
dear,
pretty. Isn't
it's
it?
Very pretty. Yeah. It is very pretty. So what do you think you're smelling?
Well, first off, it was kind of like it needed to be in my glass swirled a little bit for me just to mix it up. But I think I'm getting some vanilla on it.
Mm-hmm. Vanilla for sure.
Mm-hmm. And let's see.
I was getting some mint.
That's interesting.
I'm getting mint or herb, some sort of herb, but something minty I feel like I'm getting.
A little bit. Like a wintergreen or spearmint?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a little bit of a wintergreen.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking a little bit like...
Menthol-y?
Yes, okay. A little bit of menthol-y is what I'm... Do you get that at all or no?
I mean, a touch. That's why I asked, because there is a real difference in mints.
You're right. Mm. A little peppery and maybe a little bit of like plum or something, like a red fruit. I don't know if it's plum, but a dark red fruit. Maybe even a blue fruit.
Yeah. Well,
are you getting
maybe
that
a little bit of blackberry, too.
Okay. I'll go with blackberry. I'll buy that for a dollar. Mm. All right. Let's taste it up and see what we're tasting up. It's, you know, this is exactly what I thought it would be. It's a little sharp.
And the tannins are strong.
Strong tannins. And I think it's young. I actually think it's young.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times, and I've said this before, and I geek out and I nerd out, Carmela.
Oh, here we go.
I think we drink wines a little bit too young. Mm-hmm. I think this one's a little too, it's firm. Like it's super firm. It's like
tight.
It's tight. Mm-hmm. And it probably like needed to be decanted. It probably needs a little bit more time. It's got nice fruit on it. It's just, to me, it's sharp. It's a sharp wine. A lot of alcohol in it.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
You can taste the alcohol. Mm-hmm. Ooh. And the tannins are just a little much for me.
Yeah.
But it has good flavor.
I'm starting to get those berries. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get maybe a little blueberry almost.
Oh, wow.
Like you said, what did you say again?
A blackberry.
Blackberry. I'm tasting berry for sure, but I'm tasting like a darker berry like that. Mm-hmm. Almost like if I'm thinking blackberry or blueberry, almost like a blackberry pie.
Ooh,
you know, something nice. Spicy or...
Right, yes, yeah.
Are you getting that at all a little
some
bit?
Some currants, maybe, even like a currant?
Why do you think currant?
I don't know.
I'm not a currant eater, so yeah. I don't know.
Well, it has a little bit like...
tartness to it, maybe?
No.
I'm going to keep cutting you off, asking you questions and cutting you off. So what do you mean current?
What
do you mean, though, when you say current?
Oh, man. Better talker than listener.
I know.
God. Talk and listen.
Listen and talk.
No, I feel like currants are a little, they kind of cut the tartness a little bit. Like a blackberry, even a blueberry can have a little bit of tart on them. And I think a currant kind of mellows it out a bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think actually some of the sharpness comes off maybe at the back of the, like the back
the tail
of the taste.
End. Yeah.
A little that's bit. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
So what food do you think this would go with? I actually think it needs to be paired with food, by the way.
Yeah, I think it will actually taste better.
Really good.
Would have been a good one to try with food tonight.
I agree. Something meat, too. Don't you think like a red meat?
Yes, I do. I think you could do meat and potatoes.
Oh, okay. Meat and potatoes.
Yeah, just something kind of almost like this feels wintry to me.
Okay, okay.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking burger and fries. So okay. Meat and potatoes,
oh, wow,
but
wow.
I'm thinking burger and fries.
Right, so you would think burgers and fries, and I'd probably think meat and potatoes.
I think with the racy, this wine feels racy to me. Like,
wow.
It feels like really tight and very, and like
I got a acidic. Snowmobile.
Yeah, no, but I'm thinking, yeah, yes, racy.
Later, yeah.
No, but I'm thinking like the fatty beef patty with fatty French fries and a little like, I don't know, sauce would go really well with this.
Okay, and how about a Big Mac?
I think it would do okay, but I'm thinking more of like a grilled, like a flame grilled, like something you put on the grill and then you're ready to have
it. And
that.
Actually the sauce on the Big Mac probably wouldn't work as much.
Not as much because it's a little over creamy, I think, for something like
right.
this. I think this would stand up really nicely to a nice steak.
Yes.
A nice steak, but a grilled steak, like something really, or barbecue. Actually, I think this would do really well with honest to God barbecue, like barbecue
ribs. Not grilled
ribs.
Food.
That's
barbecue.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going with. So what rating are you going to give this wine?
Well, I probably am, you know, I'm not going to buy it. And I'm probably not going to order it.
Yeah.
Just because this is not the typical wine that I would order. But I think I would give it a 6.
Yeah.
I think about a 6.
I'm going to start off there. I'm going to start off with a 6. I kind of want to give it a little time. No pun intended.
Oh my God, you are funny.
I actually think this time wine needs more time.
Yeah.
I think
actually,
it needs more time.
It's telling you.
I mean, it's only a 2018. I think in 3 or 4 years, I bet it would really mellow out and really, like, you can taste that it has some, like, body to it. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just so sharp right now. It's just so young that I think it needs more time. So I'm going to give it a 6, but I'm probably not being generous enough.
Okay.
So we'll just hold off and maybe when I come back, I'll give it a different rating. But let's pause and we'll clean out our glasses and try our next wine.
Perfect.
Okay, we are back, and a few things we just want to say really quickly. First of all, you know, my taste in wine, our taste in red wine is a little bit different than some people's. So I think, again, like if you're a Cabernet drinker, or Merlot drinker, you might like these wines a little bit better than us, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
Absolutely.
We like our Pinots and that kind of stuff, and so sometimes they're a little bit softer wines. The other thing is, we love these wines because...
They are screw tops.
Screw tops. They're all screw tops.
Wow. I mean, that's like bing, 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 bing.
How do you not love it?
Yeah. Points, like extra points for sure. But it is a beautiful.
I was just going to say, that's the other thing that I really.
Wine we have going on here.
Yeah. These wines are beautiful. They're dark. They're dark. They're very purpley.
Purpley.
Very purpley.
Yeah. This one, though, has got a really rich red.
I agree.
Yeah, if you look at the base, I mean, it's really pretty.
It's inky.
Yeah.
It keeps getting darker.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
They are dark reds for sure.
They really
Syrah
are.
Typically pretty dark. Then.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But what I'm really interested to see is if that Syrah Viognier, which is the last one we're going to try, if that one is darker than this even. Okay.
Mm.
So this is from CC Gents Cellars. And the reason I got this is CC Gents Sellers is closed. Like, the guy died. CC died.
What?
I know. I'm not kidding. And so they just closed the winery.
So was this like a half off?
No,
It extra expensive?
It wasn't half off. It wasn't extra expensive. The woman that I talked to, she's like, you should keep this. This wine is probably going
to
be special.
What happened to CC?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
And so, but this is, I'm just all clumped. This wine has won awards, like Canadian Wine Awards. It's from the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, but it's from Oliver. It's the Golden Mile in Oliver.
Oh, Oliver. I remember passing through Oliver.
That's right. Please, sir.
No. But I want some
more.
And that we are getting closer.
You're right. That's when you knew you were getting closer. Right. That's right. This is a 2016, so it's a little older. So maybe we'll see if it's mellowed out. This was $34.99 Canadian. So again, 27 cents. No, right. It was 20. Exchange rate's about $27, $28. So it's still on the higher end. Okay, we admit it. Mm-hmm. But look, these are Canadian wines from Penticton. So you got to deal with it, people. We got it again at the Martin Street Liquor Merchants. It's 14.1% alcohol. And it is, again, 100%.
Wow, that's a
Syrah.
That is a lot of alcohol.
Well, but you know, we get those Turley's Inns and they're in the 15 sometimes.
Oh, whoa. So. Okay, well, you guys drink those.
Mm-hmm. What are you smelling?
Well, I'm getting like maybe a little cranberry.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cranberry, I buy that. Okay. I totally buy that.
Let me see what
I'm actually getting. So what I'll say is it has a similar smell to the last one, but mellower, you know, so I think that makes sense because it's a little bit older. So same wine, similar smell. I'm getting a little tiny bit of mint, but not a lot.
Okay. Getting a lot of mint. It's a little bit musty to me, like in a nice way. Cheers. That was like a cheers you just did with your microphone.
I'm getting some cherry on it. I'm getting some black cherry on it.
Okay.
I know that's a very typical like red wine thing that I like, but I'm kind of getting a little bit. Cranberry I like though, because there is a little tartness in there.
Yes.
I'm also getting, along with that mint smell or that whatever, that Vicks VapoRub smell, I'm also getting a little bit of wood. You getting a little wood?
Maybe that's the must I'm kind of smelling. A little bit.
Earthy,
yes.
Kind of little, like old grandpa's chest.
Right. Like, you know? The hope chest. Or grandma's hope chest.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's probably from the oak.
And that might be the kind. Yeah, I think I'm kind of getting that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oaky, smoky. Okay, smoky. Okay, so you went and just tasted it. She does this, ladies and gentlemen. She just goes in.
Do I need to wait for like?
No, you don't need permission. You can do what you're a grown woman.
That's why
you're a grown ass woman. You can do whatever you want.
Woo!
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like.
I won't tell you how grown ass she is because.
Wow.
No, it's not polite.
That's not nice. I don't actually really care. You can say how old I am.
No, we're not going to. Okay. Keep the mystery. Keep the mystery alive.
Wow. People until they see me. See, that's what's nice about like the radio and podcasts.
You like podcasting. That's why we don't do it on YouTube.
You don't want to see us,
if you
actually
saw us, you'd be like, who are these?
These ancient people.
Ancient? We're not that old. I still think I'm kind of hip.
Whoa.
Okay, I'm the only one who thinks I'm kind of hip.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, let's taste the wine.
Well, I was trying to, and then I got like, you know, like scolded. Ugh. Like I'm supposed to wait. Like,
no, you can do whatever
bell,
you want.
The
You're
bell.
Grown.
But every time I do, it's
okay,
like,
wait a minute.
Okay. Oh, cheers. Cheers, honey.
This has a much, I think a couple of years has made a difference. It's not as sharp.
Not as sharp.
It's warmer.
Fuller.
It's got a little bit bigger body. I think it could still sit around for a while. Like, I think this has got some room to grow.
Yes.
But it's got nice fruit on it. I'm getting some berry, some red berry, definitely. I'm getting a little bit softer. It's softer.
Yeah.
It's not as, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like kind of racy. The first one was a little racy and sharp because I think it was too young.
Right, right. Like this a little toddler running around.
Yeah, this one has mellowed out a little bit.
No, I think it's nice.
It does have a little bit of wood on the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tasting wood, and I am tasting here it comes. Carmen's been a little sick, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're not.
She doesn't want you to tell. She doesn't want me to tell you that because it's very.
You're going to cut this out anyway.
No, I'm not going to cut it out.
Okay, because anyway,
you said you wanted me to cut it out.
Go ahead.
No, I don't even know what to say anymore because I forgot.
Okay, no, you're saying it has a little wood at the end of it.
A little wood, a little bit of mint. I still taste that.
The mint, that's so interesting. I'm not getting the mint so much, but it is. It's smoother.
There's some sort of red fruit. Maybe it is cranberry. I don't eat a lot of like cranberries or there's something
I don't either,
in there.
But there's something there. There is still a little bit of tartness on
it. Tart.
This.
I like it. But I'm liking this, and I think if you like a Cabernet or something like that, I think you'd really like this wine.
Right.
It's nice. It's very nice. Fruit forward. Like, this is a fruit forward wine, I think. But I do think that the hot weather wines will get this way, like really fruity in the front.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. What food do you think this would go with?
Well, again, I think it would really pair well with food. Like, just in general, I think you want to have food with this. And I think it is kind of a juice, something juicy.
Yeah.
Like, even like, I don't know why I'm thinking this so much, but like, even like a juicy, like pork tenderloin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but
I think this would go another really good barbecue wine. I think pork. I think pork.
Something herby on it too.
I think pork would be good. Mm-hmm. I think like a pulled pork sandwich or something.
It'd be delicious.
I mean, really good. A little barbecue sauce.
Some chips on the side.
Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know what this could stand up to? Even more than the last one. French fries and ketchup.
Oh.
Don't you think ketchup? Yeah. Little vinegary kind of taste to it. Yes. I think would do really nicely. You know what? I actually think this wine would pair well with something with balsamic. Like, oh, I think it could handle balsamic vinegar.
It'd be delicious.
Like a good salad or something, or a caprese. I think it would, this is really nice food wine.
Yes,
I think
for
it's
sure.
a really good food yes. wine. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I think it is nice.
It's not my style. I will just say straight up, like, this is really not my style because it's a little bit more fruit forward and sharp than I tend to drink, but I like it. It's starting to mellow out. Mm-hmm. And again, I said this 4,000.
Just
4,
having it 000, open,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I said this 4,000 times. I think it's a little young still, even though it's 2016.
So what do you think? It's a little...
I don't know. If you ask me, and you didn't.
What do you think?
But you did. A little young.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
A little young.
Yeah. What rating would you give this wine?
You know, I think I would choose this one over the last one. Mm-hmm. They're both pretty interesting. It's something that I don't typically drink. You know what, though? I think I'm kind of in that 6-7 range.
Which one? You can't go in between.
I'm probably overrating it, but just for my likes, but I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. I'm giving it a really solid 7. I might go up to an 8. I feel like I'm underrating. I don't know why I'm underrating these wines, but I feel like I'm underrating them a little bit.
Hmm.
And again,
maybe it's because it's just not really what your style is.
I think the other thing is I kind of just feel like they're too young.
Hmm.
I feel, and I'm not going to say it again.
You are.
We drink wines too young.
Yeah. You're trying to be very general about that. Like, we meaning everybody else.
Everybody but me.
Exactly.
No, I notice when I drink a wine too young, it's sharp. It hasn't opened up.
So a few more years for this one, you think?
I think a few more years, it would be quite excellent.
Wow, excellent
quite,
day.
Quite, which is what my mom, who's from Penticton,
says. Would say.
That's right. Okay, let's take a break. We're going to clean out our glasses and we're going to try our very last wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we're going to try our very last wine. And this one I'm super interested in. This is the Hester Creek Syrah Viognier. This is from the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, also the Golden Mile around Oliver. The producer is Hester Creek. This is a 2018. So again, I think it's going to be a little young. This is the cheapest of all of ours. This was $29.99 Canadian dollars.
Wow.
Which is 15 cents. In the exchange
rate. For sure. So buy a lot of it.
No, it's $23.96. So it's the closest also to our price point.
Okay.
Also got this at Martin Street Liquor Merchants. This is 13.9% alcohol. This is 83% Syrah and 17% Viognier.
I mean, how interesting is that? Like, what made them think to do that?
Well, I think, and actually, like, when I nerded out and was learning a little bit, it's not always the same. Like, even in the Rhone area of France, when they do it, it's not always the same every year. It's not always 83%. Right.
Okay.
It can be up to 20%, and they may adjust it based on how the red grapes are doing and the white grapes are doing, but.
It is very dark, and I'm just puzzled by that. I wish I could see the science behind this one.
I kind of feel like we need to take a picture. I'm going to take a picture just of the wine in the glass because it's really,
it's
funny.
Black.
Yeah. When we were talking about this, before we did the episode, I said, Interestingly enough, the chemistry is, I know we already talked about this, the chemistry is that the Viognier actually makes it darker. And I was like, how could white wine make a red wine darker? It is dark.
It's very dark. I mean, you can see the hues, the purple and the red, and but it's like really dark. There's no, it's absolutely.
It's opaque.
Yeah, absolutely opaque. I was just going to say.
You cannot see through it.
No.
You know,
no.
Like a Pinot Noir, you can see the other side. You cannot. Inky.
Yes. Very pretty.
I'm getting a really interesting smell on this. It's fruity. I'm getting that mint again, but I'm also getting like a Play-Doh.
That's really interesting. So kind of like a wheat, maybe like wheat or grain or salt. What do you think?
I don't know what it is. I don't. Maybe it's that salty flour. I don't know. There's something in there. It's a really odd combo. I can't figure it out. I mean, there's fruit in there, but I'm smelling a lot of spices.
I'm getting a lot of spice.
And herbs.
Herbs?
I'm sorry,
I'm
cut you off.
Herbs. No. I'm getting
what kind
herbs.
Of herbs?
Well,
oregano?
Funny,
kind of?
I was just going to say, funny. No, actually, when I first smelled it, it was kind of more of like a basil.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't, it's a little milder of an herb smell. I feel like, but I don't know. I'm interested to taste it. And you just jumped right in yourself now.
I'm tired of waiting.
Doing it too.
This one's really fruity. Like it's got a very fruity taste. Tart fruity.
Oh, yeah.
Very tart fruity. Mm-hmm. It's got almost a little bit.
Oh, it's young too.
Yeah, it's super young.
But you know what? It's mellower.
It's mellower. You're right. It's like, that's a really interesting way to put it. I agree. It's not as like sharp. It's not as hot.
Right. No.
Like the first wine was hot.
Too young,
too alcoholic.
Yeah.
But this one is rounder, it's smoother.
A little more refreshing.
Cooler. I think cooler is right.
Yeah, I like it. It's a little bit diluted in comparison, too. Do you think?
Yeah, yeah. There's like something about it.
Not thinner, but just like I said, almost a little refreshing for.
Yeah, I would say that of the three, this one has the most roundness to it, but it has the least flavor of the three.
You know what? When I was just taking a sip, I don't know. I was thinking about the mint you keep smelling. It almost smelled a little bit like toothpaste to me.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it came.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're getting that a little bit now.
A little bit on this one.
Maybe I've been talking about it too much.
Maybe. Suggestive thinking here, huh?
It's too young. It's got a little bit of that cranberry. It's got a little bit of that tart berry on it. Don't you taste that?
It's still tart, yeah. I wonder what they would suggest. Like, did you read about what they suggest, like,
yeah.
When to drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, what they say is don't drink Syrahs younger than 3 years.
Hmm.
But 5 years is about when they start to open up.
Okay.
But, you know, between 5 and 10 years is kind of the sweet spot. And so of the three, we only had one that is even in that zone.
Right.
And so these last two are 2018s. They're too young.
Yeah.
They're too young. They need more time. I keep saying this, people, you need to let your wines mellow out a little bit.
Let them rest.
You can't, if you drink them too young, you get a certain style of the wine,
and
which you may like.
Yeah,
you may
exactly.
Like, but I'm telling you that there's no nuance to the wine when they're that young. They're just punch you in the face flavors. What food do you think this would pair with?
What do you think?
I think similar to the last one, I think it would do really well with meats, with grilled food. I don't think it would stand up quite as much. Like the middle one, I think could stand up to like a spicy barbecue. Mm-hmm. I don't think this one would do as well with spicy. Okay. It's a little softer. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's a little softer?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I wonder if the Viognier just kind of like softens
it
up a little
bit. The flavor might just get drowned out.
And you know what's funny too, what they say about a Viognier is it's a little bit oily, like it's a kind of almost like an oily texture. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get that mouth feel.
A little filmy.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You get a little bit of that mouth feel.
It's a little bit
fuller mouth feel, a little more viscous.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know what
so.
I'm getting
I
at?
I think so, yeah.
So
it's not bad though.
What would you, anything you would pair it with maybe?
You know, I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't think you want to do anything that's going to overpower this wine. I think it could be overpowered a little easier than the other two. But I do think, I mean, even, yeah, something actually kind of fatty with this one would be good too.
Yeah.
Something less spicy, like a flank steak, I don't know so much. I don't think that would be the right pairing. What do you think?
I think this would do okay with grilled foods.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it would do with super fatty foods, but you're kind of thinking of wood.
Something that's a little mellower in taste, like
a little bit mellower.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Something too intense, I think, would drown this out.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. What rating would you give this wine?
I'm liking this one the best.
Huh. So what do you think?
I think a 7.
Okay.
I think that this is a really solid 7. I know I said 7 on the last one, but this is a little more robust 7.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think I'm going to give it a 7. I think I have underrated all of these wines. So for all of you out there in listening land, again, not totally our style of wine. They're nice wines.
Yeah,
they're really nice wines. They're young. They need more time. I'm grading them probably, we're between Carmela and I, we're probably rating these lower than most people would.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think like grading on a curve, you could probably add a point to each of these easy and you'd be fine. And again, for us, for those of you who may not listen all the time, which is a horrible thing to say. Why would you not listen all the time?
Who are you?
A 7 rating is a great rating. It means we're going to buy it.
Right. Buy it, drink it, order it.
Yeah. A 6 is we're going to drink it. We're just probably not going to buy it.
Right.
And so a 6 or a 7 are still good ratings, even if we don't, like, it doesn't maybe sound like it. Once you get below a 4, you're in trouble.
Right.
And we've never been above a 9, so whatever that means.
Wow, we haven't?
No. So
Can't
I think
wait for that 10.
I'm with you. I think I'm going to give it a 7, but it's nice wine. So what wine are you finishing tonight? You're going to finish this
one. I'm going to finish this one.
So you're finishing the Hester. Woo! And I am going to finish the Gents. Because I just think it's got the most, I think it has the most legs to it.
Mm.
But it's also the older one. The older
right,
of the three.
Right, right.
And so that might be it.
Yeah, a little advantage.
It might be the, yeah. I just wonder if we gave these a little bit more time, if my opinion wouldn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's do taste profiles expected from Okanagan Syrah and the Syrah Viognier blend. For a Syrah, typical tastes are blueberry, plum, milk chocolate, tobacco, green peppercorn, also blackberry, blueberry, black olive, that's interesting, cherry, raisin, black pepper, black licorice, and eucalyptus.
Interesting.
It's getting a lot of eucalyptus, that minty. And Okanagan Syrah tastes closer to the cooler parts of Northern Rhone, red cherry, dried cranberry, which you totally got, sage, you were getting herbs too, mm-hmm. right? And white pepper.
Interesting.
Okay. Sweet cherry finish, sometimes is what they say too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not typically big or bold, and I agree with that.
Mm.
It's not a big or bold wine.
Mm-hmm.
Syrah Viognier blend, pepper, red and dark berries, jam, anise, and chocolate. Anise is interesting. Licorice. So we were getting mint, but you know, I could see a little bit of licorice-y. Also, black raspberry, black currant, which is...
Well, that was on the first one.
Yeah.
Right?
Violet, chocolate, olive, bacon fat, white pepper, and charcoal smoke. I don't know if we got a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we did okay. I also think probably these wines are just a little bit different than you might find in some typical areas.
Right.
And I think a wine like Syrah that grows in a lot of different areas in a lot of different climates, it's going to have different flavors.
For sure.
So I'm trying to make excuses.
Yeah. No, but I think it's just so fun to try wines from other places, just different regions.
And different types of wines.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's just, it's good. It's good for your soul.
No. And on that note, you know, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep trying different types of wines that we're not as familiar with. So you can learn about them and see if they're wines that you maybe want to try as well. And that's kind of fun for us. And we hope it's fun for you. So we want to thank you very much for listening to us. We are the Wine Pair. And while you're thinking about it, because you're thinking about it right now, we think you should give us a rating and we think you should subscribe. What do you think, Carmela?
I think so.
Yeah. Why not? And
this is the time.
Exactly.
This is the moment.
This is the moment. I don't know. There's a song there.
There's a song.
They play at high school.
Wow.
Graduations, which we're about to go to. Maybe they'll have it there.
Mm.
So
son sang that song.
He did?
Yeah.
What's the song?
This is the moment.
Sing it.
No, I will not sing it because I don't want to like turn people off. They might be like, whoa, Carmela's singing now. Goodbye.
Or they might be like, hubba, hubba.
They might.
Yeah. Okay. So we would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And we'd be really happy if you DM'd us and you told us you know, what you think, what you like.
Come knock on our door.
Well, you know, right. You know, like, maybe there's some wines that you want to know more about and you want us to try them and see what we think. And then we'll try them. How about that?
You know, I'm in.
And then we hope you tell your friends and your family and your loved ones and the people in your family who are in the military and your mom and everyone who ever said anything nice to you.
Do them a favor. Right.
You're being nice to them.
Right.
You're not being nice to us.
Right. Pay it forward.
We've got
people.
All the friends we need. No, we don't. We need more friends.
We need more friends quickly. Friends, quick. No.
Thank you for listening to the Wine Pair Podcast, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine. Bye-bye.
Bye. In the ocean of my prognostication, I was drowning in my expectation.